Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I'm your host, Shane Bacon, and intro a little different. Max Homa is sitting next to me. And Max, normally this is the time where I talk about like going to Band of Dunes and spending the week there, 20th anniversary, all that stuff. But I'm going to get into basically your somewhat wild week at the Wells Fargo. But before I do it, for the first time ever, I'm going to have the guest do the ad read. Do you think you can handle it?
I can read, yes.
Okay, so this is the ad read. It's for the Titleist Pro V1.
I'm a little nervous.
Are you nervous? Oh, yeah. Goodness. All right, I'm going to have you read this, and if you mess it up completely, we'll do it again. See where it says read? Okay. And I want you to put some pizzazz into it.
Oh, God, that's going to be the hard part. Dang. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X have been redesigned for more speed, yep, more precision, yep, and more consistency than ever before. Comparing the two, Pro V1 has a softer feel and lower flight than the Pro V1X, and Pro V1X has a higher flight with more spin and a firmer feel. Both models continue to provide proven drop and stop, green side control, lasting durability, and unsurpassed quality. Beginning in March, both will be available in yellow. Well, that's great. Call to action. Prove how good you can be. Tee up the new Pro V1 or Pro V1X on your new round. On your next round. Dang, man.
You
second
got
to last
word. Oh, so close. Are you a Pro V1 or Pro V1X guy?
Pro V1 white.
So before we get going, I do want to give you some bad news because I know you've had a really good week.
Yeah, hey, hit me.
Okay. I looked up before you got here the Aon Risk Reward Challenge for the week. It's something you and I have really talked a lot about.
A lot about, yeah.
You dropped three spots. You were tied for 72nd going into the Wells Fargo. You dropped for a tie for 75th with Peter Uihlein. What do you have to say about yourself?
To be tied with Peter, one of my best friends. He obviously must be extremely disappointed as well. What's funny is you were not the only person to text me about that.
Seriously? So, yeah. You had more people.
A couple other people were like, hey, man, that Aon Hall was 14 and you didn't play very well. And I knew, but it's something I got to improve on. It's kind of nice when you get home from a win and you can look at how to get better because, you know, you want to improve. And that's obviously a glaring spot that I need to improve on.
So it's been 3 days. I mean, you know, you and I were going to talk on Monday, and then you've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Just from a guy that's a professional golfer, which of course is a thing everybody aspires to be on the PGA Tour, to, you know, a PGA Tour winner. What's the last 3 days been like? Has it been different than you ever would have expected? Has it been somewhat similar? Has it been wild? What's it been like to kind of go through the process of what it takes when you win to kind of fulfill all the obligations you have?
Yeah, it actually is pretty different. It's like, I think the first time my agent has actually had to like do real work, you know. I don't have corporate deals. I don't have all this stuff, but you know, he had to keep me up to date, you know, put together a schedule of all these interviews. You know, I've done interviews obviously before, but not back to back to back. I haven't had like literal requests. Most of the time, I mean, I do stuff with you and the right. No Laying Up boys. Like, it's a lot more casual. All of a sudden, you know, I got call-in numbers and this and that. It was on PJ Tour Radio like three times. But it was a blast. It's a dream come true, even doing all that. I mean, it's so fun. My fiance Lacey keeps asking me if I'm getting sick of talking about it, and I am absolutely not.
Well, I mean, like, what's just so wild is, you know, people, I think, for the most part, know your story. I mean, you were one of the best amateurs in the world, and then you struggled early on in your professional career, and you know, something that I don't know how you did it. I mean, I tried to play mini tour golf, and I mean, I hit a moment where I said, I can't do this. Was there a point in your kind of journey through professional golf where you thought to yourself, like, I'm never going to get here. Like, I'm never going to get in contention at a PGA Tour event, possibly win. I mean, did you ever have those moments of doubt? Because it seems like maybe you didn't. I mean, it seems how positive you've been about it.
Yeah, I think actually how I've kind of been trying to explain it is I had a million of those moments, okay, but a million very small ones and never one big one. I can't remember one time where I was seriously sitting there like, I really don't think I'm going to do this. It was more like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I'm over it. And then like 10 seconds later, I'd be like, no, like, you know, you're fine. Just suck it up. I think my biggest benefit in all of this though was that when I did come out of college, you know, my first pro event was the Fries and I got ninth and played actually well and got my web card and then got my PGA Tour card. So I made a chunk of money that was sustainable. And I think a lot of people who do go straight to the mini tours, I don't get how a lot of those people can last that long because financially it is scary. I was never I mean, it's all relative, but I wasn't financially frightened about my future, but I figured I could kind of keep putting it together at least for a little bit. So I think that's what really helped me. I guess it was separate kind of my story from a lot of others. But yeah, it's tough not to give up a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, the worst year I had, I was still on the web tour, right, which is pretty cool. I did look at a lot of people that my friends and others that were grinding it out on the Latino tour in Canada. And I don't ever want to be a baby. There are worse situations you can be in. So I sucked it up.
Well, I mean, like, I was going to ask you about the web tour later. I mean, for people that don't understand the talent level of the current web.com tour, you know, you were out there, you won on the tour, you battled these guys. I mean, you see these commercials for the web.com tour about guys that make it to the PGA Tour and win major championships. How close is the level of play when you compare what you went through for a number of years on the web to what you're going through now? I mean, you've played with Dustin Johnson, you played with Dustin at Riv. You told me it was a pretty cool experience. You obviously got a chance to play with Rory this past week at the Wells Fargo. I mean, what's the difference, if there's any at all, in kind of the play when you were out on the web versus what you see now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that a lot. And I think what I used to tell people is the depth is the biggest difference between the PGA and the web tour. I don't know how to quantify this, but if the cut at any given golf tournament was 2 under at a web event, I think it would be 4 under okay. at a PGA Tour event. The median guy on the PGA Tour is so freaking good, people don't understand. You go look at whoever gets 125th on the money list this year, which for the first time will not be on my radar. That guy is so freaking good, it's stupid. All right, so that's where it's a little different. But the top of the top, each week on the web tour, I think, you know, the consistency might be the hardest part out there. But the top of the top that week, if you could somehow supplant him in the PGA Tour event, he would be near contention. Playing with Dustin and Rory there, that's a kind of a different world, man. I played with Rory on Saturday and I got Dustin for 36 at Riv, and they were the first two people I've honestly ever played with were, and they hit it, it's because of length, I think, right. But I was seriously dumbfounded how good they were.
Well, you told me a story about Dustin. I think he was a bunker, what, at 15 at Riv, and you'd played the course a lot. You were like, well, that's a layup.
It's out of bounds. Yeah. It's literally, I aimed so far left of the bunker to take it out of play, and he hit it in there, and even my caddy looked at me. We were both waiting for him to lay up, and he got in there and hits out, and it goes, you know, shoots straight up in the air. If anybody's played there, the bunker's like legitimately like, I would say like 6 feet deep, and he's 200. I think I had hit a 6 iron from the fairway, and so we had about 190, 200, and he hits this thing, and it gets onto the green inside of all of us, by the way. And I walked over, or we walked over, and Joe, my caddy, hadn't been looking, and he's like, "Where'd Dustin hit it?" I'm like, "Dude, like, think like 15 feet." And he goes, "No." And I walked over, and he's like, "He must have ripped an 8 iron to get out of there," which would have been crazy. And I went over there. I was like, "What'd you hit?" And he said, "6." And I literally was like, "I don't even consider, like, I don't know how to start with that shot." And so that they, you know, between the web and the PGA Tour has some freaking studs.
Right,
so it's a little
sure.
different. Now the web gets some, like Sam Burns last year. I keep waiting for him to completely break out. He's a freak. But yeah, you don't have, you know, 20 of those. I think the PGA Tour is obviously closer to having 20 guys that kind of drop your jaw a little bit.
You obviously were going to play in Texas this week, and you pulled out. We were talking before we got going. You were saying you don't know how some of these guys that win a lot can go back out the next week and like be mentally into it. We were talking like after Spieth won that first Masters, he played Harbortown literally the next week, and I think through 36 holes he was either in contention or was
he shot 62 the second round.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, for you to, if you had to be teeing it on Thursday, which is tomorrow, I mean, like, how would you be able to get yourself mentally there? I mean, is that a thing you're pretty shocked by with the other guys being able to do that so well?
I think it goes one of two ways, if I'm just, you know, kind of guessing. You either go out there freewheeling because who cares?
Right.
And you play great, or you go out there freewheeling, who cares, and you play terrible, you know?
Right.
Because I think the hardest part would be the preparation Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready. Obviously, you're saying thank you to a lot of people, you know, out there. I've been around a couple guys who haven't won, but like my buddy Taylor Gooch had played really well in Toria, and we played a practice round the next week. Everyone's congratulating him. And, you know, so it's just a lot, you know, you're kind of loving life a little bit. I would say you're a little less intense, but I can see how you could do it. But I think when you have your first one, it's a lot harder the next week. I assume, I mean, I imagine that if I were to win another one this year, obviously I understand a little more and it wouldn't be such a, I guess, like huge deal. It would still be a big deal for myself, but I guess for the media whole world or whatever, you get some guy who hasn't done anything and all of a sudden, you know, wins a golf tournament. It's a lot more obligations for me. The next one would feel a little bit more normal. But yeah, so I think the most impressive thing about all these top guys, you know, Justin, Jordan, Rory, Dustin, that they win a tournament, it really is like, all right, cool, what's right. next? And they keep plugging because, you know, the motivation, I'm sure, is hard for them at some point. And also just the focus to be like, yeah, well, that's just another W. I'm going to go get another one next week.
Yeah, another obligation you had was this Monday. You were kind of supposed to...
I'm legitimately upset about
this.
You
were supposed to caddy for this guy that you know at Phoenix Country Club as he prepares to win the U.S. Open. and now that's kind of gone out the window. I'll tell you this. I had a lot of random people on Twitter throw themselves into the fray. I mean, they were like, we'll jump in and take the loop for Max. I was like lightening my bag. I have a carry bag for you. But is it wild? I mean, we were literally joke texting about, you know, like,
you've got
a couple of weeks to go. Then we'll caddy and you'll have a couple of weeks off. I mean, like, I know that winning, well, I don't know, but I could only imagine winning something like this is life changing. But it's also like, media changing. I mean, because you've got to change your schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to like find homes and get ready for a major championship now. And I mean, you've got to be going into it with confidence. I mean, you're playing great, great golf. I texted you the other day. I said you were number one in strokes gained for the week. You should keep doing that.
yeah, for sure. It is funny. I am no lie. Shane won't believe me on this. I no lie thought about it that how I could get home. And I swear on my life, how can you get home and do it? But if it was anywhere but New York, because it really was far, because to be honest, I don't need to be at the golf course the whole week. You know, I don't really want to. It's going to be a lot of work. I've played one major before, and I remember being way too tired by Thursday because you're kind of soaking it all in. So I was like, oh, I can actually probably stay. But if I stayed Monday, there's no way to get there fast enough. But yeah, the I felt bad about that and also missing a Byron. I don't like being the guy that withdraws late.
Right.
But honestly, I emailed the tournament director today and just kind of apologized and explained myself. But it's one of those things where it's like I've never picked my schedule. And it feels good. Like it feels good to know that I'm in tournaments. I looked at the commitment sheet 2 days ago and it was honestly funny. Every single tournament that there's ever been, there's you have ranked from a number of one to whatever. And if there's 120 people allowed in the field, you know, I'll always be, even if I'm in the tournament, I'm 115, 125. I'm always looking at it. I looked at them and every single one was between the number of 10 and 15. And that was the coolest part because I'm like, all right, I can actually make some decisions for my career now, not just go where they tell me to go. And I took advantage of that, you know, being able to skip Byron and get ready for my first major. I'm playing well and I know that golf course suits me. I've watched Tiger play there enough times to know what it's about. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there and kind of keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, now your schedule for 2019, I mean, again, these are things that I think golf fans, I mean, I don't understand, is your 3 days post-victory. Now you're, I mean, does your schedule change now? I mean, do you now kind of go back through the rest of the year and go, all right, I'm probably going to skip this week, probably an event you would have played. Maybe I'm going to play here, the event you maybe wouldn't have got into. I mean, have you looked at that yet? Is that something you've kind of run through yet or no?
Yeah, we did that yesterday. I didn't really, honestly, it was so crazy about winning as I swear on my life, the only things I thought about coming down the stretch when I was like trying to keep those thoughts out were PGA and, you know, the money / you know, FedEx Cup, like, you know, getting the playoffs, stuff like that, you know, keeping my card. So I never thought about the Masters. I remember my buddy John called me and the first thing he said was, you're going to the Masters. And I was like, holy cow, I forgot about that. I didn't know I was going to, you know, Hawaii. And then I found out I'm getting in the WGC Memphis and all these things start to happen. And I can't really believe it all. I just honestly thought about the PGA. So yeah, it is interesting. I went through the whole schedule yesterday and realized that there's a couple events I'm going to skip. The funny part about the schedule though, is since I'm not in the US Open and British Open yet, there are still some events that I was already going to play that I can keep playing, which I like because I've been there before. But yeah, there's a couple different ones, like, you know, the Barracuda in Reno. I've played that every year. I really enjoy it. But I mean, there's a WGC, and I'd rather, you know, get to play four guaranteed rounds.
Yeah,
so,
get free check. Yeah, free check. Yeah, let's be honest here.
Little stuff like that. And honestly, the coolest part is to actually, for the first time ever, be able to plan for the playoffs and not go to the web finals.
Right.
That is the coolest feeling in the world, because I've done that every year for as long as I can remember, and it really, really isn't fun.
How many gifts did you go through before you settled on the Jordan shrug?
Okay, this is going to be the one funny thing, but I thought about it Friday.
Did you really?
I didn't know if I was going to write, I was going to do the shrug, or if I was going to just write jordanshrug.gif. I don't know why it hit me. You know, I've learned a cool lesson with one of my old roommates in college, and now the assistant coach at Cal, Eric Mina. He had won the Pac-10s, you know, earlier in his life, and he used to tell me before I go into rounds where I was leading in college, he'd say, "Hey, let yourself drift for 5-10 minutes, and then let it go." So like, let yourself enjoy it. So I'd sit around at night on Friday after, you know, I had gotten into contention, and I was sitting there like, "All right, you know, what would you do if you win? Are you gonna fist pump? All this stuff." Like, I let it dream, and then I'm like, "Well, I got this Twitter account. Like, what are you gonna do with that? Like, people are gonna be blowing you up."
Right.
And I was like, "All right, you know what? I'm gonna keep it super simple. It's not gonna be some corny thank you. It's just gonna be a what the heck just happened? I can't even explain it."
Well, what's funny is I was listening on Monday. I was listening to your No Laying Up podcast from October. Mm-hmm. Which is great, by the way. If you haven't listened to that one, it's awesome. Just because I think when you kind of like juxtapose that to now, you know, when you were happy then. I mean, it was a big stepping stone for you then. You mentioned the shrug in that podcast. You mentioned the Jordan. Yeah. I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember I was listening to it. I was like, man, that must be like his favorite video ever.
MJ transcends everything.
Right,
I mean,
no,
that's
for
as
sure.
Cool as it gets.
You should just from now on NBA GIF. Like, that okay, should be now your Twitter account.
It's, hey,
like,
they have a lot. So
yeah, you need to have some big moment where you step past a big name and it's the Iverson GIF. It's like the Lou. Like, that's the only way you communicate from now on. I saw Rex Hoggard said Tommy Lasorda reached out to you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else, like, big name that hit you up or sent you a text or called you or anything like that?
Pretty cool. I got a lot of them that shocked me. Andre Iguodala, who I had met a while back, and he's actually boys with Justin Thomas. And, you know, Andre probably doesn't know this, but I mean, I was around Justin when he got Andre sent him a jersey and he tried it on, and it was the funniest thing you've ever seen. It was
like
down his ankles.
Yeah.
But he texted me. I played the pro-am with him once, and that was pretty cool just to know that he was watching. I know he loves golf. A lot of cool ones. I mean, Aaron Rodgers messaged me. I've gotten to know him a bit. He's awesome. But he messaged me something that was really kind of well thought out. It was something, you know, kind of along the lines of, you know, 2-year exemption check, you know, your first win check, and, like, you know, knowing that all the hard work paid off, like, that's priceless. And getting that from, I got a lot of great messages from friends, family, and whatnot, and they all mean a lot to me. But sometimes when you get them from other athletes that get it a little bit more, it really hits you. You know, Justin Thomas texted me, that meant a lot. There were some cool people that reached out, but the Aaron Rodgers one hit me, because I'm like, this is pretty cool, because he's one of my heroes.
Right.
We went to same college and everything, and I love watching him, so he's a stud. And for him to be not only watching, but put some thought into to messaging me was cool.
So, you know, like, obviously, I mean, I'm not supposed to root for people, but I mean, we're pals, and I root for guys that, I mean, you're a good guy, you're a nice dude, you've worked your ass off to get there. So, you know, on Sunday, a couple of buddies that we had dinner with a couple of months ago or whatever, we were all kind of watching it at this Mexican food place down the street. And I mean, I get nervous, you know, watching somebody that I know that I want to do well. And then, like, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, sure, like, this is nerve-wracking for me. But, I mean, you know, you've won big events before. You've won professional events before. Is it easier to do that when you, throughout the year, see other guys that have pulled off wins for the first time, like Adam Long, what he did? I mean, we as fans are shocked that he could stand up to a Phil Mickelson, right? But, I mean, he has self-belief in himself. He's done all the work to get there. And then you look at, you know, Mitchell, who wins that event up against Brooks Koepka and big names like that. For you, I mean, when you're in that instance, I can only imagine it's nerve-wracking, but, like, there's not self-doubt at all. I mean, you're playing well and you believe it's going to happen. Does it help knowing that these guys have already done it? There's a lot of these first-time winners that have kind of come through in 2019.
I didn't think about it, but yeah, that probably does help. I have the same, though, reaction that you're talking about when you're watching. Like, when I'm watching Keith, Adam, I seriously keep thinking, you know, if I'm in that position, I don't know if I could take the club back. You know, you got Phil Mickelson breathing down your neck. You have Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler breathing down your neck. And you step up on this, not only the 15-footer, I feel like that would might be the easiest part. Because, you know, you miss it, you go to a playoff. But just even hitting the ball off the tee, teeing it up, those things seem crazy to me. But it's so weird. I guess this is why, honestly, we do this for a living. Because you get in that moment, and I've said it a million times since I was a kid, I'm nervous as hell going to the golf course, and the golf club gets in my hands, and it's just weird. It's like, yeah, this is what we do, dude. Like, get out there. The biggest for me, though, in all of it was Saturday playing with Rory. I was honestly 100 times more nervous than even Sunday. I don't know what it was. A lot of people, it was his birthday. He is obviously fantastic. He owns that golf course. And we got out there in the first hole. I'm legitimately shaking. Like, I picked up my water, and I thought to myself, I can't let people see this right. because it's bad. And I just looked around at the crowd, and it was almost like every time somebody stopped rooting, you know, wasn't rooting for me, you know, a lot of people were rooting for Rory, which is, I totally understand. Well, I don't care at all. But it like built a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, somebody told me, they're like, hey, I can't remember who it was, but somebody before the round said, hey, make him know you, like show him who you are. And I was like, man, that's tight. Like, right. He's going to know who I am after today. And the next day, same thing, you know, we roll in, I end up having breakfast with Rory, which was awesome. He's the best dude in the world. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm at breakfast with Rory. I got, you know, Justin Rose walk by me, and I know they all know that I'm leading. They don't know who I am, but they know that this kid is leading, you know, past some people on some fairways or whatnot. And every time I just kept thinking to myself, I was like, these guys are going to know who I am by the end of this day. And it kind of helped me get that motivation instead of just being like, who the hell am I? Like, right. I shouldn't do this. The logic goes out the window, you know. It helped a little bit.
Is it fun when you play with Rory and you hit a good ball and you're like, oh, this is 40 yards up there?
I can't even explain.
Do you watch him hit his driver?
100%. Okay. He's like my hero. Well, what's funny is I have two parts to this. After the Saturday, you know, get back really late. We had two delays. I call my coach. My coach, you know, kind of hyping me up for the next day. We're talking about the stuff we need to prep for, what he honestly saw in my swing that we, you know, might need to, like, watch out for when I get nervous here and there. Stuff like that. And then game plan. I said, coach, I need 2 minutes to talk about how good Rory McIlroy is. Because we talk about him all the right. time. I'm a huge fan of golfers. We talk about him all. But I was like, I need 2 minutes. And he goes, he laughs. He goes, okay. I said, I know this is bad because I'm trying to beat the guy. But, like, I'm in awe of him. The first tee shot he hit, I bombed one. Like, I hit one really good off the first. And right down the middle. And the whole dogleg's hard to the right. There's trees right. And, you know, to cover the fairway, it's into the wind on the right. It's probably 290. So if you catch one, you can kind of cover the corner. And then it slowly gets longer. He hit this ball over the right trees that, honestly, if you didn't know it was him, you're like, oh, that's, you know, if there was out of bounds, it's out of bounds. And he does that. We get up there. Middle of the fairway is a wedge, and I've got 8-iron. I'm like, dang, dude, I bombed that. But, I mean, he's literally taking a 40-yard different line than me. The next hole, I hit 3-wood. He hits driver over the trees again, and I'm walking off the tee, and I look at Joe, my caddy, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, do I say good shot? Like, I have no idea where that is. I assume it's perfect. And so we walked over to Rory. We're like, is that good? Like, and he goes, I don't really know. I know they took some trees out. And then the funniest one, though, for me, though, was on 9, because I saw some people catch me looking. On 9, I hit 3-wood again, and I necked it real bad. I'm going to put this out there. He hits it far. I hit a bad 3-wood, and he hit a great driver. But I hit it off the tee first because, you know, at the time I was whooping on him. And he bombs it over these left trees. That, like, I play a cut. I couldn't even consider going over those trees. And he just hits this high, high, high draw that is just in the air forever. And I remember walking off the box. I tried not to, like, linger on the box. I tried to walk off the box. And I remember I made, like, a what the hell face. And I saw, like, three guys started laughing. They're like, you see his face? I'm like, God, that's going to be on TV.
Yeah, it was on TV. But we saw it.
Yeah, so that was bad. But that's how I felt. But, like, on 10, I did catch – you know, I caught a couple drives. I didn't drive it great with him. I caught a couple drives. And I was, like, within – he does it every time. Right. It's unbelievable. The sound it comes off his club face is stupid. He is a legitimate driving machine.
I don't want to talk too much about, like, your actual round, but you know, I'm watching. I think I started the day watching it here. Third hole, you hit in the pine straw. I mean, yeah. I'm looking back on your round thinking that was one of the shots of your day, maybe the shots of your week, because you were in trouble a little bit. I mean, you almost made it. You hit it like 5 feet. I know you didn't make the putt, but that had to be one of those shots, at least, you know, kind of as I'm watching you thinking what you might be thinking. I was like, man, that's one of those shots that kind of like calms you down a little bit because you had a great, great recovery.
100%. I had a good up and down on two. And that was ridiculous. And that helped a lot. But then, yeah, three was tough too because three is a hard tee shot and it was cold, a lot colder, and it was really windy for our first hour. So one, two, three were really, really hard. Honestly, thinking back on it, and even at the time, I kind of thought even on three, like if you make a bogey here, it sets you back a little. But like these holes are the hardest holes right now. Like this is no big deal. But I hit a pretty good drive on three. I don't love the tee shot. It's just very it's very straight, which sounds weird, but yeah, I have to kind of cut it off this tree, and it just didn't quite cut enough, and it hit the tree, and I looked at, you know, Joe, and I was like, I actually hit that pretty well. It just was a little late cut. He goes, yeah, he goes, you should be fine. You're going to have a 7-iron in from the left rough to a right pin, no biggie. And we get up there, and it hit the tree and was in the pine chart, and we were way back, 205 or something, and we didn't know the shot. It was humming off the left, pins front right, and right bunker is the only place you can't be. And I got up there, and Pine Straw is tough for people who haven't been there. You can't really ground your feet. You can't get a lot of speed. Joe wanted me to hit a 6-iron and a high hook around the tree. And I told him, I was like, dude, I can't get enough speed on this. Like, I got to hit 5. And, you know, he fortunately, like, kind of let me roll with that. But having him tell me high hook, I liked more than just starting one way left. And I hit it, and it was off the face. I flushed it, but it was much right of, it didn't draw, you know, right. There's a lot of wind coming off, it didn't draw, and I'm staring at it, and I can just hear him saying, go, 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 and I hit it, and I was like, I hit that thing really good. I was like, if this thing can just stay online, it might be pretty good, and it got up there, and I couldn't believe it. That was a big settling point for me, because I was like, was one of the better shots I've ever hit, just in general. I mean, off pine straw to a tucked pin at 5 feet, that's pretty good. So to do it under that, I started to make me believe myself a little bit.
18, I was kind of laughing a little bit. Again, I mean, this is reality. I mean, this is something you haven't been on. You're on national television. You're gonna win, obviously. You smoked the tee shot, of course. I know you talked about the twirl with the no lane up guys, which was awesome. But you were walking up, and we're laughing. You're like, give Joe the putter, and you like took it back.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
You gave him back the putter, and you had this grin on your face. You're like, shit, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
You know, it was just like this funny moment. Cause again, like what I love about it and what I think is so real about you is you kind of will smile about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're having a good time with it. Obviously you're having a good time. You're going to win, for goodness sakes, but
yeah.
You kind of were doing that. And then I even heard you mention this. You said, you didn't know if Duffner was going to putt out.
Yeah.
And didn't really know the process.
No protocol, man.
Yeah, there's no protocol. And then, your reaction on 18 with the putt. I mean, have you ever had that big of a reaction for a victory, anything like that before?
One, I actually remember it, and I'll shout out Justin Thomas again, but we played a match his freshman year, my junior year at Riviera Nationals for the team thing, and they sent me out first against Justin, and at the time, I honestly hated Justin Thomas. I didn't know him. He's a great dude, but I hated him. He seemed like this guy that had been, you know, blessed with so much golf ability, and also was just kind of like a spoiled kid to me. This is like such an outside looking in.
Right.
He never struggled. I felt like I struggled all through high school and college. So we get out there and play, and I just remember all day I said I was not going to show a lick of emotion all day, and he was going to have to. He was going to be the one that kind of be loose and here and there, and I end up beating him. And on 17, it all came out of me, and I made about a 12 footer to beat him. And it was one of those I didn't plan on it, but I yelled just like I yelled there. And on 18, I did not plan on it at all. I honestly planned on missing that putt because I couldn't believe I would make one more. You know, I made a million 10 footers during the week, and to make one more, make it at perfect speed, and I didn't think about a thing, and it was weird. I fist pumped. I knew I'd fist pump a little bit because, you know, you're going to celebrate something. But I yelled, man, and even as I was yelling, I was laughing at myself. I was like, what is happening? But it just came out. It was a lot of frustration, but a lot of pride. And you just never know if you're going to be there, man.
Right.
And it happens, and your body just kind of takes over. I mean, it's the weirdest feeling in the world.
So we were talking earlier about, you know, playing the next week and guys being content. And I can only imagine – for somebody like you, you've been in the lows of lows as a professional golfer, and obviously now you're at the high of highs of professional golfer. How do you reset yourself so that you're not content throughout the rest of 2019? How do you reset yourself to go into these events going forward with the same drive, determination, relentlessness to go in there and compete and try to win more? Because I mean, I know you want more tastes of this. So how hard is it going to be to avoid that? You know, if you shoot 74 one week, be like, I already got a win this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be hard, but I think that's also good because at times you can shoot 74, 74, leave the golf course and be just in shambles.
Right.
Where I've always been jealous of people that can do that and be able to reset and think, my life's not over. I have some stability. Because coming off the web category, I mean, you miss a couple cuts and you really don't get into anything.
Right.
Now to know that I can actually have some freedom might end up making me play better. But yeah, what I've been great at in my life with goals and whatnot is I haven't made goals super specific. I had one this year that was tour championship, which means you had a great year. And that means that you're never going to clinch that. Like, I can't clinch that all of a sudden. So that's going to take a lot more work. But in general, I wouldn't be content. Now that I have a taste of what winning is like, or even just being in contention, that's all I want. Like, it's legitimately like a drug. Like, if I go the rest of my career and never have that again, but I can keep my card every year and I'm living, you know, financially like stable and having a great life, I'm going to be upset because that feeling Saturday, Sunday was unbelievable. Playing with Rory, you know, playing in the final group with Duffner, coming down 18, knowing you won, like that stuff is so addicting. Like I can't imagine going out to the golf course next week and just being like, well, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
I think I'm going to have the good end of whatever happens, happens, because I can finally kind of look at it and just be like, it's just golf. You know, it's not the end of the world now. And when before, you know, when you're struggling to keep your car for the first time ever and you just remember all the bad shots you've hit, it does kind of feel like the end of the world.
Going into the PGA Championship, again, you're playing well, hitting it well, putting great. I mean, you're making everything, for God's sake. That's got to be a good feeling. But, I mean, even the rain delay when you came out, you
yeah,
buried that putt.
Crazy.
I was like, you hit the putt. They had this great camera angle. I don't know if you've watched it.
Yeah, I actually
not.
Did see that one.
And, I mean, again, I mean, it's hard to read putts on TV. But you hit it. And we were all like, it was like Woody and me and Andrew were like, man, that's a bummer of a horn. You know, you don't want like a five and a half footer. You're like, I want the tee shot or I'll take like a wedge or whatever. But you're like, five and a half footer, man, that's kind of a bummer. And you hit it, and I kind of like from TV, it looked like it went the other way.
Yeah, I honestly thought it before I read it, or sorry, before the rain delay, Joe told me, go look at that putt. And he comes over, he goes, what? And it was raining, but he goes, what's that putt? I said, right edge. And we got back out there and he goes, right edge. I was like, it ain't right edge.
I thought it went that way. And when you hit it, I was like, oh, and then it just goes right. Like, it just was like the, you know, every putt was like, just like a gopher going as hole. I was like, well, I mean, the guy's pretty locked in right now, but you know, you go in the next week and it's a PGA Championship and the field's going to be all the best players in the world. And you're going to have the Rorys and the Dustins, but the Tigers and the Phils and all these guys out there. I mean, do you go into it with confidence? Like, I can get myself a contention again?
Yeah. I'm not delusional enough at this point to think that like I'm all of a sudden, you know, in the class of Rory McIlroy. Like, and I mean this in the most respect, even to myself. Like, what I learned this week, though, is on any given week, my good golf is as good as anyone's good golf. I think that Rory's and Tiger's and Justin's and Dustin's and Brooks's is better weekly, you know, and I'm okay with that. I need to get better. I obviously haven't had the success they've had on a full year scale. But what I learned and what I also really did know for most of my life was my great golf is very, very
right.
great. And I think that's cool to know. So I think that's where I'll feed off of. Obviously, we're going to, you know, my coach, me and Joe are going to continue to try to get better and get onto Rory's level and all that to be more consistent like that. But yeah, that what I can finally really hold on to is, if I go out that PGA Championship, and I know that I don't need to play perfect because I didn't, and that's finally what's great, is I know that I've hit the ball a lot better than I did last week, and I haven't putted much better than that, but I mean, I've putted like that before. I didn't completely black out.
Right.
I played my golf, and it was just really good, solid golf, so it will be cool to go out there with a ton of confidence to know that, hey, if you get this thing rolling, like, we don't need to be shocked that we're near the lead.
What's been interesting, and I don't know if you felt this or not, I mean, obviously maybe it's a little bit too close to your chest, but for whatever reason, your win this week has felt like it's been more attachable.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, have you sensed that? I mean, even like the SVP thing that you did such a great job with. My UPS guy yesterday drove by, and he knows I'm in the golf media. He drove by yesterday, and he was like, man, that was really
cool.
He said, he didn't know I know you. He was like, man, that was really cool on Sunday. I was like, yeah, it was sweet, right?
That's
and he was
so
like,
cool.
I just, you know, like, I feel like, and I mean, you're so good at social media, I think it helps that with social media, because people root for you because you're such a genuine dude on that platform. Don't change, by the way. don't become some like guy that just punches out. By the way, you did put out like, in the last 3 days, you put out like two things that were like sponsor stuff.
Well,
you're going to be this person.
I'm raising money for Alzheimer's.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I got a charity.
I got to retweet that.
Yeah.
That was funny. They showed you your thing on TV versus like Sergio made some really, really weird kind of
scrappy four. I feel like I should win this.
You should for sure win it. Yeah. We were watching it and we were all at the same time. We're like, what did he chip in?
Yeah.
He like made like a 6-footer.
I hit it over like a 90-foot tree and like hit a nice chip up to a foot and tapped it.
That'll be your Aeon. That's your Aeon challenge. That's Aeon, the thing. Yeah. But you know, have you felt that? Like, have you had people reach out that are like, your story in a sense, you know, inspires me, or maybe a mini tour guy that's like, man, dude, like if you can do this, like, I feel like I can like put more work into my game. Have you seen those types of things come your way?
100%. That's been the coolest part. What No Laying Up did that was so cool was in that podcast we did after, our tour championship on web, you know, they took a blurb from it, 4 minutes, and it was my favorite 4 minutes, but they do such a good job of, you know, they're some of my best friends, but they've given me a bit of a platform to be able to talk about my struggles, and I don't hide from it. I mean, it happens. And I was able to, and they were able to cut 4 minutes out of it, and I got a lot of responses that were not golf-based. Like, hey, dude, like, if you don't, you know, to their followers, if you don't listen, if you don't watch golf, this can still help you. Right. And I got a couple texts from people who are working their way up, you know, their own profession, and they've had struggles, and they texted me and be like, hey, man, that was very inspirational. And what's funny is, you know, I didn't know, obviously, I was going to be here. I didn't know that this was all going to work out. But when I'd be sitting in my hotel room on a Friday afternoon after missing my millionth cut and hating life, I sat there thinking to myself, I'm going to be like what I am right now. Like this story, I pictured it. I'm like, I'm going to be this guy. People are going to look at me and think, man, he can do it. I can do it. I think that they're, you know, everyone's attached themselves to, you know, John Daly and more everyday golfer. Like you can kind of see yourself in him. It's so hard to do that with Justin and Rory and Tiger. I mean, like Tiger isn't a real person to me. Like I can't relate any shot I've hit even to him. Like, it's just different. Everything he does is so much better and different than all of us. But you can relate yourself to little stories here and there of people kind of, you know, making a comeback, doing little things that, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I've had a bad day and then I overcame it, or I can overcome it. People losing weight or getting in shape and all these things. So it was cool that they cut that 4 minutes, and it was really cool. That Scott Van Pelt thing is the coolest thing I've ever. That was the first one that hit me. I was like, what the heck did just happen? Like, but it's cool because that was my goal, man. I wanted it to be bigger than just the golf. I knew I had to get my golf game back, but I also thought to myself that in this process, I'm going to be what people can look to at some point of the stories that I'm at the time looking for to find some motivation, because, you know, it's hard. You don't see a lot of it, so I needed to find some people that had done something like I did, and to be able to do it and help people in the future, and just kind of, I want everybody to be successful, and I don't want anybody to ever quit, and it was cool to show that, you know, a little bit of perseverance can go a long way.
Where did you get that from? Like, your parents, your mom, like, your dad? Like, where did you get that from? Where did you get that no-quit mentality?
I have great parents, and you know, they were the type, growing up, they don't know a ton about golf. My dad got me into it, but it was one of those where, like, they wouldn't let me win at sports. I'd cry, you know, when you're a kid. They would tag me out when we played little baseball games. They wouldn't let me win anything, and I was kind of an annoying kid. I would flip the board, you know, in Candyland if I was losing, all this stuff. But I think a part of it, obviously, besides what they taught me and instilled in me, is I think some of it might just be natural, because I know this is the corniest story ever, but my mom and dad tell me the apartment I you know, lived in when I was like from, you know, birth to 3 years old had a little step, and they said they used to see me crawling up and down it and trying to figure out how to get up and down it. And I honestly it sat with me that maybe that's who I am, and that's why I said to those No Laying Up guys, and I've said before, like, some people are going to be the best 7-iron player in the world, some are going to be the best driver in the world, and I'm going to be the toughest dude you've ever met, and maybe that's my thing. Because, like, I think Rory has been blessed with the driving ability. Right. I think I have been blessed with a lot of self-determination, and you know, that's just kind of how I tried to, you know, make my day-to-day life be once I was struggling. Every day I'm going to be the best version of myself I can be, and then see what happens in X amount of years. Did not think it was going to happen this fast.
Is there an athlete, like, when you were growing up, or even when you were going through kind of your low times, if you will, was there an athlete you looked at that was like, that dude is somebody I can look at and be like, he accomplished this. If I follow what he did, or if I kind of like follow his, you know, can't give up attitude, I can do the same thing. Is there anybody that you had in the world like that?
Yeah, Kobe. I know that it's not that he struggled with like his actual game, but he had those two awful injuries. And I watched that show, or his like our episode of The Muse a bunch of times. And I remember sitting there and I'm like getting like physically emotional thinking about what he's going through, because it felt like me. Like he sat in front of that, uh, that, his locker that day, and he's crying, and because I know what he's feeling. He's like, man, I am done, and also I don't want to do this again. Like, I can't do this again. And I remember the second time I lost my web card, I had worked so hard the last time to get my card back, like so hard and immensely hard. Like, I can do this, and I lose it again, and lose it in a way more like ridiculously bad fashion. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I don't want to do this again. Like, it. I really don't. So looking at him, I'm like, you know what? What'd he do? He sucked it up, went to the doctor the next day. And then right after that, he goes physical therapy. He's, you know, picking up marbles one by one with his feet every day for hours and hours. And I'm like, this guy is obsessed with, like, what's going to happen the next minute of my life. And I'm like, I can do that. I can handle my brain. I can make myself do these things. Now, I can't make myself, you know, a better golfer right away, but, like, we can break this down really, really, really small. So he was a huge inspiration for me. His work ethic is next to none. And, like, that's kind of, that was the best I could find. Cause honestly, what's kind of cool is there aren't a lot of stories like me. You know, I think Sean Martin tweeted something today about people, like, no one's made as little money.
Right. Four yeah. players, like less than 20,000 and one.
It was
one
hard
after.
To find stuff like that. I wanted to, you know, you got a lot more stuff on Kobe and Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and all these guys. So it was cool to kind of try to dissect what they've done.
Are you a very much NBA fan or not really?
Yeah, I am. Just a little bit. I like, you know, we're going to be all basketball just from now on.
That's right. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, all I'm doing, man.
Is Grace, and we're going to have all these guys. Yeah. Well, Max, I appreciate it, man. Like, that was it was fun to watch. I mean, I, you know, I could tell by social people were rooting pretty hard for you, and I think there's a reason for that. And do you want to do another Titleist read? Do you think, or are you pretty good on that?
Give them your
version of the Pro V read. Hey, go get a Pro V.
Yeah. Hey. This is what I'd tell people this. Hey, if it can fix my golf game, you might as well go buy a couple sleeves, give it a shot. Yeah. I mean, why not?
All right, Max. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.